Hello, you're listening to
Spoiler.
Film.
Conversation.
Hooray!
So, guys, we're here once again to talk in spoiler-filled detail about a film that we've all had a look at. And I'm Richard Nicholas, hello. And this week on the show, we have Abby.
Hello.
Oliver.
Hello.
Tom.
Hello.
And Anthony.
Howdy!
So, it was Abby's choice of Summer Wars was the film. Abby, can you tell us what it was about and who was in it? Or who voiced it, because it was anime?
Well, it's slightly complicated, as many animes are. On the one hand, you have a boy being asked by a friend of his to pose as her fiancé at her grandmother's 90th birthday party. And on the other hand, he has to save Oz / the internet from an evil artificial intelligence.
Yes.
That was the least interesting way you could possibly have described that. It is ultimately a movie about a family getting together to celebrate the 90th birthday of their grandmother, set to the backdrop of a rogue artificial intelligence taking over a neo-Facebook-style social media internet.
Well, however you cut it, and both ways sound a little boring when you say grandparents' birthday party, but I think either way...
And I mentioned she's a samurai.
It was written by Mamoru Hosoda and Satoko Okudera, and was directed by Mamoru Hosoda.
Yeah, and I mean, it would have been voiced by people in different languages, so we can't really give too much credit to the actors, though probably the English version and the Japanese version were fine. We have all watched the dubbed version except Ollie, is that right?
That's right, I did the hardcore version.
He did subs.
Okay.
We did the dubs.
But either way, it's an interesting choice of film, and I guess we should cover individuals' expectations before we get into the film proper. So let's start with Anthony. Anthony, what were your expectations of this film?
Well, this time around, because I've seen it before twice, I think. I like it as a film. I guess when I first watched it, I'm a big fan of anime, and I've seen a lot of films. The first time, I think I was expecting something a little less with as emotional heart as it does. I won't get too into it. I had high expectations coming back into this one.
Okay, what about the first time before you saw it? Were you just thought you've heard it was good, or?
Yeah, well, you know, I heard it was good. I was told the storyline, and like I said, it was a little less zany, if you can imagine that, than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah.
And what about you, Tom? What were your expectations before you saw this?
I've seen it before. I actually own this movie, you know, for money and everything.
Before you bought it and before you watched it the first time, what were you expecting from it?
I'd had it recommended, and I'd seen some of the screens for it. I could agree with Annie. It's not anywhere near as zany as it the trailers and things imply it's going to be. It was actually much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Ollie?
I didn't know what to expect. I never know what to expect. Either I go into a movie knowing absolutely everything about it beforehand, or I go in knowing nothing, and I knew nothing this time.
That's probably a good way to go into it, I reckon. But we'll see. Maybe it was a bad thing. But Abby, you picked it, so your turn, I guess.
This is the second time I've seen it, but the first time I saw it relatively recently, so I remember how I felt going into it, that a similar thing to the other guys, where knowing how insane anime can be and hearing the premise of this movie, I did think I was going to come out of this a little bit mentally deranged.
Sure.
And that it would just drive you crazy with its weirdness.
That's often the way with anime. You can kind of bet it's going to be a bit mad, which is usually the case. And I would say I fall between Ollie and Anthony, where I think it was recommended to me, possibly by Anthony, and then yes. I knew nothing going in. I was just, oh, it's just a film, and I'll see. And then as it went on, you know, there was nothing to, like, there was nothing to defy. It just was what it was, and it just drew me in. And I think to start us off on whether we liked it or not, I really think it's one of the best things. And there's a reason why a lot of it's word of mouth, I think. People just like it and then they recommend it. And I really enjoyed it. What about you guys? Seeing as there's so many, Abby.
I love the visual flair of this film. It's so beautifully and simply done. I get great pleasure just looking at it.
Yeah. Tom, do you like it?
Yes.
Did you? I mean, you bought it on DVD. You liked it. What about it that made you purchase it?
Well, I went into it thinking it was going to be a sort of zany, crazy thing, and then watched it, and it was actually kind of deep.
Mm.
Kind of a lot deeper than I was expecting. Bits of it genuinely made me sad.
Yeah. Very few films make me cry. This made me cry the first time, and nearly again the second time.
And it's not a massive tragedy or anything. It's like it's just got a depth of emotions and story. I mean, it's quite the mad story. What about you, Ollie? What were you? You've only just now seen it, so what did you think overall?
I generally have a problem with anime, with the Japanese animation style, because it's not really detailed enough for me somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of born out of like a minimal saving time animating thing, and now it's become an official style and look, really.
Yes, but I think I liked the film. I had a problem though, because it didn't feel like there was enough plot to actually fill up the whole time. And at the points where presumably other people were being very, very sad, I was thinking, I wasn't particularly connected to it.
Okay, I find that a little odd, because you are like a maths... Oh, I'm looking for a word that isn't genius, but you're a maths academic. And it's about a kid who's a maths genius. I would have thought, there'd be parallels.
Okay, the maths in this film doesn't make any kind of sense, so let's just...
Oh, he saw behind the curtain. I see.
I kind of assume the maths...
Or he's just not genius enough to understand it.
That a big mass of numbers being solved is so vague that you couldn't possibly, like, you can't really go, oh, that's bad math or good math. That's just nothing. We didn't really see what it was.
Well, that's why it doesn't make any sense, because he's not solving anything. He's never really given anything to solve. He just breaks out a pad of paper and goes, oh, I don't know what it is I'm solving, but okay, I'm going to start scribbling now.
Yeah, I'm cracking a code based on nothing. Yeah, okay, so that makes more sense now, but that probably wasn't the only thing. Anthony, you recommended it to some of us before the first time. You liked it, but why?
Oh, I just found it really engaging. It's like I get totally wrapped up in the drama of the film all the way through. It is a weird film. It's all the way through, it changes pace so quickly and so effortlessly, from like action-packed fight scenes to really quiet, like, just moments between the characters. And I just thought it was a really beautiful film. I don't use that word very often.
I wouldn't think you're using it lightly here either, because it is tremendously, like, well animated. Even though a lot of it, like, facial expressions is kind of manga-y and that's a bit shorthand, it's still a luxuriously and beautifully done visual all the way through, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was a little weird, because the studio only has two... the art studio only really has two other films to its name.
Oh, yeah.
One of them was their sort of debut film, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, which I've heard reviewed in great sort of raves for, but I've never seen, so can't comment on it.
That's good as well, yeah.
And the other one was Digimon the Movie.
Oh, wow.
What? No, you're wrong, surely.
Art director is the same. You can tell by the art style and the fact it's half the same plot.
Well, you can't blame the art directors for the content, I guess. But
it does go much deeper than that. I do know that the director of this film was also the director of the second Digimon movie.
I mean, Digimon's essentially about dueling spinning top monsters and tournament-y type stuff, and this is kind of... it has.
Oh, that's Beyblade.
Oh, right. What am I thinking of? Oh, no, just regular dueling.
Oh, my God. I am so geeking out right now.
Back to the film. Never mind Digimon or whichever anime the makers have made before. Let's throw those aside. Let's talk about Summer Wars. It's kind of...
I was giving actual facts there.
Oh, it was good, but I feel like if we get caught up in explaining all the different animes that I wrongly thought they made, we'll be here a long time. I do know what Digimon is. I confused it with Beyblades. It is weird that they did that other project, but, you know, it's all work when you're an animator, right? So, no big deal. Yes, so, the film. Summer Wars is kind of two sort of parts to it, two sides, I would say. You can argue with me if you think differently. But one is the family side, which is about a large Japanese family and a young man who's been brought into the family and just him dealing with them en masse, as well as some conspiracy stuff. And then on the other side, it's kind of a virtual world that is in danger due to a avatar virus thing. And it's those two. Those are the two parts of the story that are intertwining. Would you guys say?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Good. I guess.
No.
Linear speaking, we'll go through it in a sort of general, straightforward narrative how it went, and then we'll find out what we want to talk about as and when. So, our main guy is one of two nerdy math guys who do coding or something in this virtual world. Oh, that's it. The virtual world. We should explain it. Can anyone have a go at explaining what Oz is, which is essentially their Facebook come internet come avatar universe?
It appears to be a gigantic social network which spans the world and which somehow has gained access to all of the important work functions that its members do. So,
because they put their permissions on there to make it more convenient, because they can access it from anywhere.
Yes, so you can access nuclear power plants if you happen to get their accounts.
Yes.
Or satellite GPSs.
Of course.
And of course, the reason why I'm not particularly interested is because I don't do social networks, and if Facebook crashed tomorrow, I would go, oh, what a pity, and then have a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, and probably not be blown up by a nuclear missile as well, if it, you know. But in this world, it's kind of a quasi bit of, oh, what if in the future we put everything online and have weird little avatars, because that's kind of a visual nice representation. And
in context, it all works.
It does work. It is a bit odd that so much is controlled, but it's kind of a statement about how so much is done online now. But essentially, it's a big white space with avatars in, and it's all the internet come Facebook.
It's very Japanese.
Yeah, it's very Japanese, yeah.
But if everybody was on the network is called Oz, so we could just call it Oz.
Hmm.
If everybody's on there and everybody has an avatar, then you're faced with horrific public relations problems. So what does the President of America have for an avatar? And
can he be assassinated online?
Is it okay for the United Nations ambassador from Uruguay to have a kangaroo with a samurai hat for an avatar? we don't know. It just becomes incredibly complicated.
There are many.
I love that you've gone this deep into the diegesis of this movie.
Well, it's very annoying.
It's perfectly fine.
There are lots of ramifications. The one in which this movie focuses is, what if there was a computer program invented that could take over everyone's accounts, which is how they access the internet-y thing called Oz, and it just absorbed them all and controlled everything that's controlled by it. And essentially what would happen is, you know, things ranging from traffic jams to satellites being taken over to general just problems. And that's kind of what happens for the characters of this film. We've started talking about generally what, like Ollie's mentioned his criticisms of Oz, but what did you guys like the kind of virtual concept they had for Oz? Anthony?
Yeah, I think they realised it quite well. This is a kid's film at the end of the day. a very mature one, but still a kids' film.
God, I wouldn't want to show this to kids. I wouldn't have to deal with the crying afterwards.
Yeah, I know, but I think within the context of the film, they realised it well. It all made sense to me.
Yeah.
Plus, it was nice having the kind of juxtaposition of the colourful, wacky bit and the unexpectedly rather emotional side of the story.
Yeah, I mean,
so I thought they were fine. I didn't really have any problems with them. Some of the logic, maybe, of the world, is at fault, but still, at the end of the day, kids' film, it's allowed it. I think. I think it gets away with it.
Yeah,
it's really beautiful. It's lovely looking. The interior boss is very nice.
Anyway, the avatars can range a great deal. They're very customizable, and you can have, you know, weird samurai squid monsters, or you can have bunnies with kind of emo-looking hair, or you can have little squirrels. I mean, there's quite a range of avatars, and they all sort of gather en masse in Oz and interact. And the weird visualization they have for this thing that can... the computer program that is hacking in and taking over the accounts can also fight the avatars and assimilate them, and that's their kind of visual representation for being hacked, I guess. That's a bit weird, but it kind of, you don't worry about it too much if you're enjoying it.
It is in a long line of trying to give an interesting visualization to hacking.
Yeah.
They've been doing that since the 1980s, trying to make a fundamentally boring thing look interesting.
Yeah, screens of...
Hacking is not an interesting thing to see.
Yeah.
You've got a window. It pops up and says, you have successfully taken over such and such. Nobody cares in the slightest.
What I think you have to do is just kind of accept, in all the computer-related stuff, none of that makes sense.
But you don't care,
It
all works in context.
Yeah, it's kind of, filmmakers know hacking is dull to watch, so if we have avatars fighting each other, that is much better. And they go quite mad with it, and it's quite good. They have a whole kind of visual style in that universe that's very beautiful and intriguing. And then the other side, then, is the family real-world life, and it's essentially about one guy who's picked out of two friends to... Kind of, what was it, a coin toss that meant that this one...
Paper, scissors, stone.
Yeah, oh, there we go, yeah. So these two guys are approached by a female, like, student colleague of theirs, and she says, I need your help. Which one of you could help me? And arbitrarily, the one nervous mathematician code guy is the one going through with it, and he's invited to her parents' house and is being forced to pretend to be her fiancé. Is that about right, the starting point wise?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
How did you guys find the main character, the main male character?
Kenji.
Yeah, sure.
Who are you asking?
You, Abby, you're talking.
I was endeared to Kenji straight away, just because of the relatively new thing I found out about, which is math leaks.
Yeah.
So as soon as he said that he was one of the... He didn't use the word math.
They're in the Maths Olympics, or he's gotten into the Maths Olympics, whatever that supposedly is.
So I was on board straight away. Mathlete, I'm with you.
And you see, I find him endearingly, like, wimpy and kind of scared of anything that is girls and socialising. And that's it's nice to have a main character that is kind of pathetic and stuff, instead of just bold adventurers, which is often the case with anime movies, I find. I mean, we shouldn't really go through everyone every time, because we'll be here every question I ask, but anyone else got some thoughts they want to chip in with on the main character?
I thought he worked. I'm from a really big family, so I've seen what happens when you bring outsiders to the party. They are scared.
That's true. It makes it... I think, Tom, you're from a big family, and me, Abby, and Ollie are all from fairly small families. Not necessarily the same one, but small families, aren't we, guys?
Yeah. And you're a mid-size, Anthony? I know you've got two...
Yeah, we said mid-size.
Yeah.
So it is interesting whether you come into it thinking, oh, this is exactly what massive families are like, I'm in one, or whether it's, I'm intimidated by these huge families. So I think that will sculpt your kind of perception of the film a bit, is which side you take in terms of, are you the one guy who's got the no family and hardly at all, or are you one of the massive throng of characters in the female character's family? So the female lead character, I guess, is
Natsuki.
Yes.
It's debatable it's even debatable if Kenji is the lead character.
Yeah, I guess they're the kind of cause of the story. They're the kind semi-focus, but it is a massive ensemble of different, like, Japanese family members, isn't it, really?
It is quite strange, actually, because what you were saying about the big family thing is that I had a real problem with that huge family. The way they were immediately coming down and saying, oh, yeah, you're going to be joining the family soon. You thinking about kids yet? And it's just really strange.
Oh, but when,
that, again, I've got a big family. Yeah. It's really not that odd.
Yeah, it's not.
Friends seem to insist they've got my life planned for me, even though I don't know them.
That's just strange.
Yeah.
People always assume that everybody has to do the same thing that they've done. Anyway, that's weird. But they're not even... he's just her boyfriend.
Fiance.
Not even out of school.
Fiance.
Yeah,
she lied a great deal about him.
But she's not even out of school.
You're right, Ollie. Maybe you'd be one of the more chilled out family members who wouldn't be assuming all this. But a lot of them are they're quite strong characters. A lot of them are quite bossy. It's a family of matriarchs predominantly, isn't it?
It is hard to work out how that many bossy people in one family could not just have a war.
Well, they almost do. At any given point where they're all together, they are a big family of fighters and arguers. And, you know, there's some black sheep in the family. There's some little noisy kids. There's a host
they
of...
They do row, I think.
Sorry?
I seem to recall rows. I'm pretty sure they do.
That's what I'm saying.
It splits right down gender line. It's quite strange, actually.
Yeah, it is kind of a partially gender-separated family. But then there are just... there's all kinds of family members in there that are just different types. And you get a well-observed look at a massive family, I think.
If they could work out a way to put in a black Japanese person and a Latino Japanese person, they would have.
They're covered all bases then, yeah. They have some non-Japanese family members, at least.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They're kind of... And the poofy-haired black sheep family member.
Wabisuke.
The adopted one.
The adopted one. And, I don't mean to be making fun of it. It's just, you know, I was thinking.
You know, it is, that's why it's interesting, is because it's got all of these weird social things in it that you either know from the inside or see from the outside.
Yeah. And, I think that's what I was saying, totally. I tell you what, guys, people can bring up, if I go through you guys and ask you which are your sort of favourite noteworthy characters within the family, and then if other people have other things to say on them, join in, and then we'll maybe cover the family that way. So, Anthony, who are your, which family members did you particularly like?
Well, I think the obvious first choice is the grandmother.
Yeah.
Super grand.
She's quite a key character of a defining character of the film and of her family within the film. They all kind of take the lead from her, and the way, you know, the way she's presented in the film, you kind of believe it, that this character can command such presence.
You'd have to with the size family she has as well.
Yes, and then she, well, up until, well, no, all the way through the film, she's kind of like the focal point, really, of everything that's kind of going on, apart from the Oz side.
Yeah, she's certainly from a generation where, you know, you have to be strong. And, you know, families vary, but in this case, she is a particularly likeable character, and she's kind of missing some front teeth, and is surprisingly, stern at times. But, I liked her too. Did anyone else have any thoughts on her?
I did like the way that she picked up the phone and bossed pretty much everyone in town.
The only way grands can. They just phone you up and put you on the spot and make you feel like a little kid again.
And she was always playing the clan card as well. It's like, you dare call yourself a... And then I can't remember what the name of the clan was.
Okay.
You mean family.
Yeah, for a minute, I thought you meant like the KKK or something. Yeah, the family clan that they have. They're all one clan, aren't they, I guess. So, yeah. Yeah, who, Abby, what about you then? Who are the characters that stood out for you in the family?
I like the way that it was all pretty realistic, except for, I think his name was Cousin Shota, the cop.
Yeah.
Who was just constantly shouting, "I object!" And arresting him, then rearresting him, and then shouting for more.
Yeah,
he was some nice, different comedy.
Isn't the panicky Japanese policeman character kind of a standard, though?
But he was a nice contrast. I liked him.
Yeah, he was one of the particularly good comic relief characters who's just there screaming and being like always held back. But he seemed to have a weird relationship with his second cousin. The one of the lead female characters, where he seemingly was not quite in love with her, but he kind of, nothing was okay. Like if this new kid was coming in, he objected. But then towards the end of the film, if he's not willing to be in a relationship with her, he kind of objects. He was kind of super controlling of his second cousin, and I thought that was a kind of funny little dynamic they had going on.
Mm.
Ollie, which characters stood out for you?
I was just looking through the list, trying to work out if anybody stuck out more than anybody else. I mean, it is a genuine ensemble.
Mm.
Ensemble.
Yeah.
And Anthony already took the most dominant character.
Mm.
I mean, it's fine if there's no one overall. I'm just hoping to pluck out different people at different times, because there's so many. It's kind of like, how do you deal with these? You've got to separate and conquer, I think.
The only one who really stands out, I think, is the guy with the uncle with the different coloured hair and moustache.
Oh yeah, the
one with the boat. You mean
fisherman?
Yeah, he's a kind of a stocky, blonde-haired, moustachioed, and he has some kind of boat-based business, and he's very shouty and kind of mad.
He's always the one who'll go to suggesting fighting first.
Yeah, he seems to know a lot about the samurai ancestry, and he's happy to like chip in with pretty much any conversation and take it over and all that. Yeah, he's good. I mean, I liked him again, like another good comedy one you've picked out, where he was often used to be funny and kind of just loud. I don't know. He was also quite an interesting figure because he tied into one of my favourite characters, because he was the sensei and sort of the trainer of one of the black sheep of the family, which was I don't know what his name was, but he was the one who was always on the laptop in like the other side of the house being quiet, and was sort of one of the other
Kazuma?
Younger kids.
Kazuma, or maybe Kazuma.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kazuma.
Yeah, so I really liked him, and he sort of, that uncle figure was training him to do martial arts to sort of, so he could not be bullied and stuff. But I liked that there was just the one who stays away from all the arguing and is just on the computer on his own, and was kind of the gaming guru of the family who could be counted on to take the avatars. He had a bunny with like blonde hair in Oz, and he was known as like King whatever it was.
King Kazuma.
Yeah.
He was the martial arts champion of Oz.
Yes. And I liked the fact that there was this like quiet, shy one that was so significant to the sort of story. I also really liked the kids, the little kids who were just constantly running around shouting and screaming and trying to like arrest like the mathematician and once he'd been outed on the news and stuff as being potentially a criminal.
For some reason, they kept reminding me of the two little kids in Walk, Don't Run.
That's a callback to Walk, Don't Run.
Walk, Don't Run kids, they were really quiet though. These guys were just like nightmares running around playing. I mean, there was a scene where like all the littlest kids were all having a bath at the same time, and it was just like super soakers and madness and hiding, and it was just, yeah, well, there's something about little kids being insane that amuses me. Who else hasn't picked out someone?
I think it's just me.
So Tom, you go.
No, I'm going to say Wabisuke.
Is that the grey-haired adopted guy?
Yes.
Go on.
Ultimately, he is responsible for everything that happens.
And he's a jerk about it.
And he's kind of a jerk about it, and he wrote the program that did all that.
I refused to take responsibility, and Ben did take responsibility.
But he did all of it because the family never welcomed him. He was never one of them.
Classic
so
villain.
So he did all of this to try and make up for it.
Yeah, and they had a nice, like, he's quite, when you meet him, he's kind of brought in as the
antagonist.
He's brought in as the antagonist, and he's been away for 10 years. There's been a falling out, and he's kind of no one's really happy with him. And like Tom said, he's kind of responsible for the incident that he created, the program that has started to, you know, hack the world. And
it's like when you first see him, he's clearly not welcome.
Yeah. And he's such a.
Really find out what the incident is, the original one.
No, the incident was that he had stolen the grandmother's money and gone off.
He had been given the money.
It's a contentious issue, even now.
The grandmother says so.
Yeah. Well.
Okay then.
Yeah. Well, for whatever reason, they do play the like long game. They don't tell you all of it straight away. We find out that. He's adopted, and that, like, he had a special bond with his grandmother, but subsequently they've kind of fallen out. But it's kind of like, it's his story of redemption in part as well, which is kind of interesting. And he starts off as just horrible. We know there's a bit more I can never remember the names, but the young female lead character,
Natsuki.
Yes, she's partially, like, in love with him, even though she can't be with him because, you know, he's a cousin. She's infatuated by him and likes him the most of all the family, I guess.
Well, she can't be with him because he's too old for her. Yeah. He's an adopted cousin.
Not actually in love with him, just he's this mysterious outsider.
Yeah, and she has a crush on his image, I guess.
Oh, sorry, no, he is a second cousin because they have the same great-grandfather.
They're hard to track. I'm still not sure now. There's also a lot of, like, mums. There's a baseball fan mum who has a lot of kids. I think she's quite funny as well.
I liked her too.
Yeah. She's just the most stocky and glasses-wearing one of the lot, and she's the one following the baseball through the apocalypse despite... Well, it's not an apocalypse. It's just everything's going mad. She's just riveted by the game and has loads of kids to track, and I feel sorry.
I'm pretty sure her son is playing.
Oh, well, yeah, that's why. I mean, they're all interested. It's just when things get a bit hectic, you know, baseball takes a back... Nah, it doesn't matter. She's an interesting character. I'm trying to think of the others. So there's guys who all work... There's, like, a fireman, an ambulance guy. I mean, there's a whole host of, like, jock-like fathers and uncles, isn't there?
Mm. There's a computer guy who was so game to use all of his stock.
Yeah,
he's only lending it.
No, but he's still going to sell that on like it has been used.
Save the world. I'm pretty sure that provides added value.
That was his long game.
Yeah.
The whole time he was just thinking, if this works, I'm going to be able to sell it for many.
Plus, things like the computer was already sold.
Yeah, and I mean, once you've smashed a giant boat through an archway and parked it in the pond, you're kind of bringing in a massive computer. Is not that big a deal, really. But it's about all of these family members chipping in together and trying to solve a problem and put their own issues and arguments aside. There's so many little plot lines going through it. It's such a hard one to sort of pin down as to what the whole thing is about, I guess.
I guess, in terms of themes, it's about different types of community and coming togetherness and how they both can be threatened, I guess.
Yeah.
And how they both deal with it.
And persevering, and it's the message overall is like, you know, you may argue with your family, but you need to rely on them in the crisis, so, you know.
Yeah, Mustache Boat Dad. He started to explain about family. You can't choose who your family is, but, well, there it is. It's basically what he said, which is... It doesn't say anything, and yet, at the same time, yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
You can't choose them. Get over it.
Totally. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many little bits of story. There's one about a mathematician trying to deal with the social awkwardness of being in a massive family and having a girlfriend who, like, isn't your girlfriend but might be your girlfriend and stuff. There's a black sheep of the family who caused a lot of problems and is trying to, you know, put things right and also make it worse simultaneously. There's, you know, let's talk about one of the key things that might be the thing that makes us all kind of a bit sad, and it's that as the drama unfolds and it gets more stressful, the matriarch, the grandmother of the family, dies. And the family then have to deal with this, as well as the fact that the internet is being hacked and the world could end and there's nuclear bombs. I mean, it's a weird, weird situation. And it's kind of the emotional, like, big moment. Would you guys agree?
That's the moment that really catalyzes the family. Because up until that point, some of the members hadn't understood that Oz being in jeopardy could affect things in a larger scale. But Granny died because the program that monitored her heart rate and when she needed her medication and all of that kind of thing malfunctioned because Oz was down. And that really brought it home for everyone then.
It could no longer report to her doctor.
Yeah, which also was a family member, because, you know, there's umpteen of them that we haven't even mentioned, probably. But, you know, there was even family members that weren't in the story. They couldn't make it to the meetup, which was essentially going to be for the birthday of the grandmother. But once the internet hacking thing happens, everything is thrown into a sort of crisis mode where there's traffic jams and problems and false call-outs for ambulances and things. So it's such a weird... Oh, man, the story is such a weird one. It's kind of it confounds itself by being also about a ridiculous virtual world as well. So I'm kind of struggling for where do we talk? We can't talk about it all. So what do you guys think we should talk about? What things are the focus of this chat?
Well, since we can't talk about it all, it'd be easier just to recommend whoever's listening this, go watch the film. You should probably have watched it by now, since there's spoilers involved.
Oh, yeah, recommendation off the top of the show, I think. We were like, yeah, go see it. But what things are key to this story being so unique?
There's one thing we haven't mentioned yet, which is one of the main things I love about this movie. They save the internet by playing Hannah Fuda.
True enough.
Yes, that's actually true. The heroes do not save the day. They've got this big tooling up scene, and then they're all going, yeah, yeah, let's do this, yeah, it fails.
But luckily, everyone else who hasn't had their accounts hacked in the virtual world offers themselves as a gambling bet in a Japanese card game. Like, it's just the sheer plot itself, if you were to describe it in detail, would be so just what? The internet has been hacked and there's virtual problems and a grandmother's died and the family are coming together and they've put a massive computer in their house, they've put ice in there that they've brought in, and they're all on their mobile phones and gadgets and they're all together gambling to save the internet from a computer program that one of them created. And now they're playing Hannah Fuda, and the world is gambling their identities.
Again, in context, it works.
Yeah, totally.
You can follow it.
And you're watching the film, you're willing to buy it.
It's very plausible. I mean, it's easy to follow. It's just when you think about it as a whole, it's like, what is going on? But you're right, Abby. I mean, how many people have played Hannah Fuda?
All of us.
All of us.
So we've all weirdly played it. So it wasn't like a big surprise to us. It's kind of a weird game for like Westerners to have played, but it is quite a fun game. It's kind of a snap-based, like seasonal betting thing, isn't it?
Basically, if this was made in, say, America, it would have been poker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just a cultural thing.
Yeah, we don't really get to see how it works. We're just taking it as, oh, you play, there's some element of snap, you know, where you match tokens together, and if you get the right combination, you get like a straight or a flush or a you know, the equivalent of a poker hand that's good, and you win the tokens, and it's kind of that. That's how it works. Is you just, like poker, win a bunch of points, or in this case, avatars that represent people's accounts.
And that's the bit that nearly made me cry, as well, is the bit that starts with the little anonymous German avatar saying, "You can use my account," right up to the part where everybody left in the whole world says, "You can use my account." That bit gets me.
Yeah, so it's that kind of moment in the film where the whole world gets together and unites to save the day. Because essentially, like Tom mentioned earlier, the family fail initially because, you know, they were betting and it's chance. And it looks so desperate, and we've got that countdown that's in... Like, all films of this kind have to have a countdown where the bombs go off. That's kind of where, in a way, one of the criticisms I'd have is it's quite a silly premise, you know? It's good, I enjoyed it, and it's not really a proper criticism, but to have a countdown where you're going to get hit by a nuclear bomb is just like, what? Really? That's what you went for as a dramatic
nuclear,
end?
But... Yeah.
Would it be wrong of me to point out that it's not actually a bomb at all?
What was
the AI has worked out where they are and is going to kill them. Just dragged a satellite down.
It would have to be quite a huge satellite to not burn up. That's quite strange, actually.
Yeah, all right. I was wrong. It was a bomb. They were getting bombed, though, and lots of places in the world were going to get bombed. So, or whatever it was.
It is effectively a bomb. A bomb is just a thing falling from
the
sky.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, it's quite mad. Do you guys all give it the, like, benefit of the doubt for being so, like, engaging so far at the end to have such a silly idea? Or would you guys think, that's not silly, Rich? Of course, like, that makes sense.
In context, it's fine. I mean, you know, the action is escalating all the time, and it just, it kind of feels like the obvious kind of crescendo to have something huge then, you know, for the climax.
Yeah. It doesn't really hit you until you try and say it to another person.
Yeah, I suppose. At the time, you're very emotionally invested, especially the first time. I was, anyway. You're feeling what the family feels. They've tried a number of, like, things, and they've come to, like, the last straw, and then they play a big virtual game of Hanafuda, and the world bets, and they win. And the virus is stopped, or is it? Because wasn't there like a psych out at the end? It has two more accounts, and there's yet more maths required and ridiculous codes to be uncoded.
That maths aneurysm was harsh.
Oh, yeah. Basically, the maths kid is called up once again because the computer has two avatars left, and it's using them to change the encryption codes, and it's still going to drop the thing on the family's house. And he has to break the codes, which are just numbers that he figures out. What the code? It's just ridiculous. But he figures out the codes again and again, and they keep going, "Ah, I'm locking you out, locking you out, locking you out." And what was the final thing that changes it so they can't? Oh, he gets punched by the bunny.
Yeah, Casper distracts him so that Kenji can undo the bit of code that he needs to, and put an error into the satellite so that it changes direction.
Just in time, so it falls near enough to be brutally close, but saves them. They're all saved, and they have a happily funeral ever after. And like you said, Abby, the kid has, like, a nosebleed, like hemorrhage from thinking so hard about maths. That was kind of, and at the end, it kind of finishes with him having a horrible over-the-top nosebleed, which was kind of a grotesque ending.
That is the one bit I don't like, is that right at the very end, more or less, she kisses him, he goes bright red, and loads of blood comes out of his nose. That's just disgusting.
Yeah, anyone else a fan of that moment?
I liked it. I thought it was kind of funny, and I liked how it kind of showed at the end, like, even though we've all been through this huge, like, emotional story together, and I've stepped up, I'm still the same guy, more or less, from the beginning of the film, and I'm still quite shy, and I kind of liked it as a finishing moment.
Yeah, they do really demonstrate. Just because we all saved the world there doesn't mean we're not going to be incredibly irritating.
Yeah. Family goes on after crises as well, so it's always just a constant fight and argument and, like, always getting over problems. we haven't covered it in a great load of detail because we had to just jump to the main thing that it is. So, I mean, there's so much that it's kind of good that we haven't talked about it if you haven't seen it, listener, because, you know, you need to see it. You just, there's so, it's littered with so much more characters and jokes, and there's bits of the story we haven't talked about that are good. It's just full. Would you guys agree, right? It's totally worth recommending.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thoroughly.
Oliver?
Even though it has some weaknesses for you, would you still recommend this film to others?
Yes, of course, it's a very good film. I just didn't find it very engaging, personally, that's all.
Okay, so final thoughts for everyone. They can have their last say. If there's anything, you know, you think, oh, that bit I would like to mention, pluck out whatever you like. Say what you thought overall. And I'm trying to think how, what term we could rate it on, but I'm kind of like, if it was an Avatar or a family member or a maths equation, anyone got any
could
suggestions?
Could be your favourite anime character from anything?
If this could be an Avatar, what would it be?
Yeah, what would it look like and what would it be? Yeah, that's a good, nice multiple choice thing. So let's start with Tom.
Okay. If you're going to watch it, be willing to let stuff slide. Take it in context, because it makes sense if you don't start trying to apply too much to it.
Yeah.
And if it was an Avatar, I would say it was Aang. It looks simple and innocent, but there's a lot of depth to it if you pay attention.
What is that, do you say?
I don't think these guys have seen Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Of course they've seen Avatar, The Last Airbender.
I don't know the reference point you just made. What was it? Aang?
Yes. The Avatar.
Yes.
He's the main character. Dude,
the little bald kid.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about it, but so, like, I'll take your word for it. Anthony?
I really like this film. I really think it's quite a stunning, beautiful film. Both visually and emotionally, I like how it is, like I said before, it is a kid's film, but it's extremely mature for a kid's film. Mm-hmm. And I like the juxtaposition of, like, the frenetic kind of animation style sometimes, and then it has its very quiet moments. I just think it's a really beautiful example of Japanese animation.
Yeah, because it is that weird beautiful, but also the characters, even though they look realistic, I mean, their faces are odd, but they're very bendy and they're very, like, exaggerated movements and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a kind of constant kind of movement in the animation.
Yeah.
Even when they're being still, they always seem to be, you know, moving in some way.
Yeah, and if it's not stylistically amazing, it's at least just funny from being just purely visually animated in an interesting way.
Yes.
Do you have an avatar that you could create that represents
this? Sorry. I don't know. I guess it could be like a picture of Mark Zuckerberg.
A picture of Mark Zuckerberg.
Because <That's> the... it's just kind of like the all-encompassing kind of, I don't know, I was going for like a weird social media thing. Take it or leave it, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, okay. Oliver?
Oh, I was just trying to scribble out an avatar of some kind. I would say that it's interesting. I actually think that it has I think it has the makings of a very good movie. It's just I don't connect to the anime style, I think. And otherwise, I think that in many ways, by trying to split the film so equally between the Oz side and the family side, I don't think you quite do either side justice. In itself.
I think it could have been a pure family narrative without anything else. It could have had the extraordinary internet stuff and still been really good. And then, like, on the flip side, it could have been a kind of outlandish visual madness that would have been good too. So I could see how it could have been split up.
Yeah. I think having it be such an almost exactly 50-50 split is... I think it loses a little bit of focus for me. But it's really well done. And for my avatar, I think it is a cartoony Mona Lisa with a sombrero hat on top which kind of walks around looking very, very beautiful, but also at the same time just a little bit ridiculous.
Fair enough. I guess, Abby, because it was your pick, you'll go last, and I'll have a quick say. I think I just recommend it. It is an extraordinary film. It's not one thing or another. It's just an experience. You've got to just put it on, watch it, and go, what? And yes, also. So, I think there are some elements that you can think about too hard and go, what? That makes no sense. And why would this be visually represent? Like, there's a lot you could criticize, but you'd have to be pretty mean to go, oh, that doesn't make sense. Why would the internet, you know, it's kind of, you can't do it because it's so good. You can't find the cynicism, and I can't, and I usually do.
But plus, that doesn't make any sense. It's all rubbish. The internet doesn't work like that. Get away from me, all you weirdos.
Exactly. I mean, I can't do that.
I hate people with computers.
Yes, it would. You know, there is things you could go, hang on now. But I also find with the things you kind of go, what? That doesn't make sense. I also like imagining the things it sets up. Like, it creates amalgamations of avatars, and they're kind of interesting. The main kind of computer program takes on a really strange monster form that is kind of imaginative, and it gives you a lot to think about and imagine yourself, which is good, and that contrasts the dopiness of some of the premises. And I just think all of that doesn't matter, because it is so, it's just good. You can't really get over the fact that it's good. So, all that said, if it's an avatar, it's some kind of ninja melon with angel wings that has muscly arms and, like, many legs and just a picnic basket and a snooker cue, and it's just everything in one strange avatar that I can't imagine. It is an amalgamation of all the avatars from the film in a massive ball, but not an evil demon thing, a cool kind of
that
awesome
was already
one
in the film.
Yeah, but not that. It would be the good version. It would be the weird angel with wings that she was, I guess. Because I don't know, that was kind of horrible looking, the angel winged thing that she has as her avatar when they it doesn't matter. I haven't got anything better than an animated melon. So
it's amazing how they will try to get
furries
age progressions or power ups or just plain odd things. Never mind.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
One of my favourite jokes in it was when, during that section, they said, oh, she's been granted one of the unique items by the whale. And Dr. Pill just turns around and goes, I have no idea what that means, but thank you!
Yeah, and the fact that a Dr. Pill says that, and there's some kind of guardian whales that look after the internet, it's that kind of madness that can't be described in one avatar that I'm struggling with.
But yet again, it works perfectly in context.
Yeah, it's totally not as hard to follow as it is to explain. Abby, what do you think? Sign us out with your summing up.
In the same vein as what Tom was saying, and with what Ollie said in mind, watch this movie, everyone. Suspend your disbelief, and there's a chance that there's going to be something about it that just doesn't sit with you. It happens. But at the very least, I think you're going to appreciate this movie for its visual splendour.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a go. I mean, you know, it is one to watch.
I'm having trouble thinking of terms to describe my avatar, so I'm unfortunately going to have to use the Muppet.
Go on.
Which I would say is slightly out of bounds. You know how Gonzo is a totally unique
thing?
He is no animal that...
Unless Muppets in Space is canonical.
But he's not an alien in your mind, Abby.
No.
Okay.
He is a Gonzo. That's what he is. I want an avatar that is not like any creature or thing that you are already familiar with.
Yeah, whatever that is that you can imagine, listener, it is that. That's how what we rate it as. Something unimaginable, but when you see it, you'll be like, oh...
It's pretty hard when you consider all the stuff that Lovecraft wrote, and then all the strange avatars you'll find in Japanese things already.
And in this movie, even.
And in
they
this
made
movie.
Oh, bunch.
It's definitely.
But that's, those are the terms I'm going with. But this is a distinct film for me. I can't think, other than it is animated, I can't think of many things that it shares significantly with other movies.
No, that's true. As you know, there are probably similarities that could be drawn to other things, but in and of itself, you can't go, well, it's just a rehash of The Italian Job, isn't it? It's not. It's just a thing. Deal with it. So that was our chat about Summer Wars. I think it's time for us to all say goodbye. So, guys, say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Ciao.